Let me tell you a story about getting very annoyed and then things working out okay. Actually, better than okay. One of the things that, we just got back from Budapest yesterday and are going to be talking about it a little bit in this episode. So one of the things that we did was a nighttime cruise, dinner cruise on the Danube. And it was a little bit stressful getting to this cruise because there was flooding in Budapest. So not anyone's fault. Well, I mean, except for humanity in general because of climate change, but like this particular instance was no one's fault. But we gave ourselves plenty of time to get from where we were to the place where the dinner cruise was. I had it all marked on the map. Everything was going fine. We get partway there and are stopped by a flood and cannot go any farther. Meanwhile, we walk by this entire crowd of people who seem to be waiting to get into an entirely derelict, dark, shitty boat. We walk back out and around. We try to make it to the dock where or pier where our boat is leaving from. That is entirely flooded. I try to call the people. I have gotten no communication from them saying anything is wrong, right? So I try to call the people. I don't get anything. I email them and they email me back saying, okay, go to dock 10 instead of 6. So we walk back, realizing as we're walking that we are getting in the line to get on the dark, shitty boat. The boat that I referred to as like ghost ship or something. Just a few moments earlier, Matt said that he felt like if we got on there, we would be murdered. So I'm not in a good mood at this point. I'm angry at the people for not emailing me. I'm annoyed that we had to go out of our way for a variety of different things and that we're going to be getting on this shitty ship. So Matt said to me at one point, do you want to just go home? And I said, yes, but I'm not going to, which I think is a thing, right? Like, it's a travel thing. Sometimes things aren't working out and you get super pissed about it, but you got to push through, which is where we're going, right? We go, we get in the back of this line. It's very long. It's very confusing. There are several lines for different cruises. I think usually these lines would be in different places. They would not all be on the same pier, but again, flooding, a bunch of these things are underwater where tourist boats would normally be docking. We get in our line. We go into the terrifying murder boat, only to discover that it is merely a passageway to a very nice boat that is hidden on the other side of it. And that is where the cruise is actually happening. We get into the very nice boat. We get a table by the window. There are not thousands of people on there like I thought there were, because these lines are all for different confusing things. And it was lovely. The food was great. There was a musical performance that was not too obtrusive, which was good. The views were amazing. We had some nice wine. It was a very fun evening, and it did turn out very good. So obviously I'm glad that I did not just go home, because I would have missed out on all of that. But it was, I had to dig deep to overcome my like frustration at like, I've spent a bunch of money on this and now it's like looking like it's going to be super crappy and I'm confused and I'm mad about bad communication and all of this. But it turned out great. So that, I think that sort of summarizes some of our trip in general, right? Our last podcast, we talked about like the frustrations of getting there with, you know, my flights being canceled and, you know, missing my luggage and all of that. And then Matt and my mom being trapped in this, you know, Prague's worst mass shooting, well, Czech Republic's worst mass shooting ever. But the rest of the trip was great after that rough start, right? So it's sort of the same thing encapsulated in a smaller evening, right? Rough start, everything worked out great.
Yeah. And so welcome to Rented In. I'm Matt.
And I'm Rachel.
And this is a conversational podcast with two married nerds kind of talking about our travels around, food, games sometimes, all sorts of things. If you want to hear more about art as well sometimes. This trip, not much on the art.
Not much art. This is, I think, one of our only vacations where we did not go to an art museum.
Yeah, it's true.
The nary one.
But if you want to hear about the Prague side of the trip, you listen to our last episode. We talk about all sorts of things there, including the Christmas markets and just Prague in general. And then this episode, we're going to talk about the Christmas markets in Budapest, which is the main reason we visited, and also just the city in general.
Yeah, our overall impressions of the place. Spoiler alert, they're positive.
Yeah.
Positive impressions.
And we'll talk about some other things. So take a quick break. We'll be right back. So a quick catch up, not to rehash the whole last episode. You can go back to listen to that, hear about Prague, but to talk about how we got to now. About 6 months ago, Rachel's mom reached out to us and said, hey, I'd really like to go to Prague to see the Christmas markets. And of course, because we like Rachel's mom and we like traveling with her mom and we like traveling, we said, yeah, let's do it. Yeah. And then, I don't know, a few weeks or a month later, Vicky said, I'd also like to go to Budapest.
She'd heard really good things about it from several friends who had recently gone. I don't know that... I mean, now that I've talked about it, I have some friends online who have weighed in, and they have been. But I don't know that it was, like, super on my radar before my mom brought it up.
One of those... Yeah, right. But I think once she brought it up, and I'll admit, Rachel knows this. I've maybe talked about some of this on some of the former or previous episodes. I work reasonably hard at managing expectations. I sort of get an idea in my head, and if it changes, it's sometimes hard for me to kind of roll with that, which is funny because other times, like, I kind of have two speeds. One speed is I'm just gonna roll with it, and like once we're traveling, I'm pretty good at just rolling with it. I might still get grouchy if I'm hungry or tired or something, but for the most part it's like, well, this has gone to shit, whatever, we'll just do something else or something else will work out. But if I've got a notion in my head, and I'm much better about this in general, but even just a few years ago, I was much worse at this. But so Rachel's mom said, I'd also like to go to Budapest. And I was thinking, it means we're only going to have a couple days in Prague, and we're going to be going to travel. I kind of kept that all to myself, I think.
You did, because I didn't realize this until just now.
Right.
So then
I started like looking into it more, and I was like, okay, hold on, Matt, just check yourself. It's cool, right? We're going on this trip. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
And then we started looking at it. We're like, okay, we're still going to be in both places for 5 days or four and a half-ish.
Right.
Which, granted, wasn't a ton of time, but, you know, you got to maximize your
ultimately
travel.
Ultimately about the right length of trip, I think. I could have happily stayed a couple more days, but...
Yeah. Well, and I would say I think I was done with Prague when we left Prague.
Yeah,
I would have done more stuff, but either way... I started looking into Budapest, and I was like, this looks pretty fun. And then I found this YouTube, because as you know from previous things, most of the research I do is watching YouTube videos, or rather, hopefully finding someone who lives in a place and hearing about it from them. Mm-hmm. And huge shout out to Stuffed Cabbage Adventures on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. He recommended the tour company, the boat cruise company that we used.
He did that too.
Yep.
Okay.
And... Yes, as much as I wish they had sent me an email saying, hey, by the way, different loading pier.
It was a
very nice cruise. The rest of the experience was great.
Yeah, I would recommend that cruise. I would not recommend the Danube flooding again, but, you know, right. I don't think the Danube wants to do that either.
Right.
And, but he was funny. He was informative. He showed us lots of things. I was like, dang, there's a lot of fun stuff to do there. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot. But the main reason we were going was the Christmas markets.
Yep.
So first, we're going to talk about the Christmas markets, right?
Uh-huh. We talked about it a bit in the Prague episode, so you can go back and listen to that. I don't want to do like too much comparison, like back and forthy.
Yeah.
But just, you know, sort of, I guess, overall impressions of the Budapest ones.
Yeah. And some quick stats too, right? I think Rachel's mom and I went to 5 Christmas markets in Prague. Mm-hmm. You made it to 4 with us. Mm-hmm. We did only 3 here?
Maybe.
It's like 2.5, because 2 of them are kind of connected, but I think they're technically maybe separate. But yeah, what do you think, overall impression? What do you say?
I will say, like, there was much more fun stuff to buy in the Budapest markets. So there were more places that I was pretty sure, like, a lot of the stuff was actually Hungarian. There was a lot of repetition that you saw between different places, but, like, there were more unique things as well, right? Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of spoke to a variety of kind of aesthetics, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there was, like, things that were kind of cute, but there was also, like, there were jewelry booths, which I didn't see any of in Prague, and there were, there was, like, honey, one place that was just selling honey, I think there was a wider variety. There were a bunch of places that did leather stuff, and then there were, you know, ornaments and just kind of, like, cute, like, Christmassy things.
Yeah, there were tons of the traditional, just, like, here are the standard Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. But also some different ones. Like, your mom got that cool Christmas ornament that isn't, it's a little bit of a chunky Christmas ornament, but it's not huge. It's sort of flat. It's hard to describe. It's sort of a, I don't know. It's not a box, but it's more like a flat box, kind of like general shape. Think about it like a really thick cookie.
Yeah.
But it also lights up inside. So it's,
Oh, right. One of those. I didn't even realize she bought one of those actually.
So it seemed kind of, just like, again, there was a wide variety of, like, traditional stuff that looked like it was straight up tourist trappy kind of stuff, mm-hmm. like the paprika spoons and things like that. But then other things that seemed genuinely handmade. And either some of the people were just really good at lying, or they were actually purses and bags designed by his family.
Mm-hmm. Those ones that, when we were talking to him, those were very unique too, with the type of latch that they had on them and stuff. I am actually a little sad I didn't buy one.
Yeah.
I just didn't have any space in my luggage. Yeah. So, especially because I had to
Etsy store.
Buy extra clothing in Amsterdam. So I was really out of space.
So I think, to me, the big, again, where I don't want to compare them too much, right? But I'll just cut to the chase on part of this too. I enjoyed the Christmas markets in Budapest mm-hmm. better. Part of that was the main one in Old Town Square in Prague. It's already a tourist destination.
Mm-hmm.
So there's already a million people there. And then there's also a million people there for the stuff. It was just very crowded and hectic.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. The food looked good. Some of the food we got was really good. It stressed me out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we were there a little bit later. We were there at better times of the day in Budapest. But they just seemed better organized in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, the food was in one side, the crafts were in another side, so you weren't, like, fighting through lines to get to the crafts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think I overall liked them better as well. I think some of the things are very standard between the two. I would mm-hmm. say that the mulled wine is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
We got a couple ones that were, like, slightly different, but, I mean, you know, it's pretty standard across all of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the food seemed similar, although I will say the Budapest ones, like, you could get smoked salmon some places mm-hmm. Where they were actually smoking
That's
it.
That's what I regret not getting.
Yeah.
My mom does, too.
But a lot of that is pretty similar.
Yeah.
I will say there's not a lot of, like, kid candy kind of foods, you know?
Like, no, yeah, there was, like, strudels. I don't know if I saw a ton of kids there. I saw some.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is kind of interesting, right? Like,
maybe also,
you know, because
we
I think of, like, fairs in the U.S., right? Like, there's always, like, cotton candy mm-hmm. and, like, things like that, whereas there wasn't anything like that.
We didn't have any hot chocolate. Some of the hot chocolate of these things are supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, that's true. We just stuck with our wine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think
I would recommend, if you are going to be going to Christmas markets, we've only been to two countries for them.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Germany and Austria have amazing ones. Mm-hmm. So is, like, Switzerland.
Finland.
And Finland. Like, yeah, it sounds like there's a glut to choose from. Mm-hmm. If you have a reason that you might want to be going to Czech Republic or Czechia or Hungary and you want to wrap in, I think either one, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I think it was a really nice combination, like, because the train ride between the two is inexpensive and it was 7 hours, which is like, you know, a solid chunk of time, but like the train was comfortable and relaxed, you know, we had Wi-Fi and it didn't feel like super long. We brought food and, mm-hmm. and drinks and stuff with us. So I think it was a nice like combination of cities and experiences. And I would say, and last time we went to Czech Republic, we went to Germany, kind of on the back half of that trip, which was also really fun. But I don't know, like some of the architecture is more similar in between Budapest and Prague, and some of the sort of sense of the city is much more similar than Germany, which felt different. So it was kind of, I just think they were a nice pair in terms of, in terms of like going to two places in a, you know, sort of 10 day period.
Yeah. And I think it both would be very different experiences for us or for anybody who goes, if you're going around Christmas market time or you're not. Because we normally, we're going to be going to an art museum every other day on most of our vacations, right. It seems like. And we didn't go to a single one. In fact, your mom called it out. I wasn't really missing it.
I definitely would have gone to the Modern Art Museum, though, in Budapest, if we would have had time, you know.
And if the Mukas Bohemian epic or whatever was still
at the art museum there,
we would have made your mom go to see that because that was amazing.
They're so big. Biggest paintings I've ever seen.
Maybe they're still in Prague, but they're not at that museum.
I think so, they've moved back to like a
whatever
town.
The town was.
Yeah. But anyway, neither here nor there. But yeah, it was a very different trip for us because it didn't involve any museuming. Mm-hmm. It just involved markets. We did, you know, we talked about the Jewish Quarter tour last time. We did the dinner cruise, and we also did a tour of the opera house in Budapest.
What did you learn? What did you learn after the going on the opera house tour?
That the man at the front, when he tells you that you can go to the bathroom upstairs when the tour starts, that is a lie.
Oh yeah. Right.
don't believe him.
That wasn't the thing I was going to ask, but you're right.
I learned there's 2 kilos of gold covering the gilding, everything in there.
Yeah.
I learned that the emperor had demanded that it not be bigger than the Vienna opera house, but then he was disappointed that it was perhaps prettier than Vienna.
More grand.
More grand.
That he was angry, supposedly. I love the stories that we tell, mm-hmm. right? Either culturally or whatever. Like they talk about on, is it like the road show or whatever? That like if there's a family history mm-hmm. about where something came from, it's probably wrong.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean there might not be some kernels of truth, but like we sort of aggrandize
things
to help ourselves feel good about them. So, but that opera house, gorgeous. If you're going to be in
Budapest,
I will say,
like I really regret. I just kind of drug my feet for too long because I was like, because I was going to get box tickets for the Nutcracker, and I was like, they're a little bit expensive, and I just kind of like was indecisive about it for too long, and I really regret that I didn't do it because I would have loved to have seen a performance there. Because it is a smaller and kind of more intimate space than mm-hmm. say, like we went to the opera house in for the Nutcracker in Buenos Aires, and that was a huge, huge theater.
Yeah. Also gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So, yeah. So I definitely, if you're planning, I would look for shows and I would, you know, try to find.
That's what I was trying to find one. To.
Yeah.
Right. Is like when you're waffling, like, I kind of want it. It's a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
Like if you're thinking, it's a little bit expensive, like you probably want to do it. Just pull the trigger, find somewhere else to save a little bit of money
mm-hmm.
or maybe that's trying to save some more money. Not on the trip, but before or after the trip. Because this might be the only time you're ever in these places.
Yeah.
Not to make you feel bad about it.
No.
I'm happy with the choices we made.
Yeah.
But I think,
It's a good reminder, right? Like, because I spent plenty of money on that dinner cruise, right? Mm-hmm. And like, for whatever reason, when I was buying that, I wasn't feeling like weird about it. Like, oh, maybe I should do, you know, something else or whatever. So yeah, I think it's just a matter of like, I don't know. I think it was also, it was summer when I was initially looking at that, and I don't get paid like towards the end of the summer. So, you know, because I'm on a 10-month contract, at my job. And so like everything always feels a little bit tighter. So I think that was part of it too. Like just,
timing.
Yeah.
So, another kind of lesson here. We talked about this one, on the Prague one momentarily, I think, which was, we also failed to see the Nutcracker in Prague. Mm-hmm. Because tickets were sold out 6 months before.
Yeah, they were sold out really fast in Prague.
So any takeaway I can have for you here, if you're going to be traveling, if you don't travel a ton, if you're not a planner that plans, fight that urge. Like, think about a little bit about the things you want to do, and if there's any chance it might be in demand, look.
Yeah.
If it's seasonal, if it's... I mean, we've been pretty good, but we're planners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are, yeah. And we try not to overplan, but it was nice to have just like a couple of things. It was like, okay, so today we're definitely going to do this, and today we're definitely going to do this. One of the things that we did that is unique to Budapest, I think, is the public baths, right? Like the, there's sort of three main baths. Szczecny, Gellert, and then one that starts with an R. We went to Gellert, obviously. That's why I can remember it.
That one. Yeah.
But I mean,
do your research on those. Each one's a little bit different.
Yeah, but they're like, they're really big, right? There's a whole bunch of different pools at different temperatures. Like Gellert has like a pool that you can actually swim laps in, and then it has, you know, a warm outdoor pool, and I think in the summer a cool outdoor pool, which was obviously not open in the winter, and then, you know, a bunch of different different temperature, like just kind of soaking pools. But we did that. I think, yeah, I would buy flip-flops. Some are cheaper than actually at the baths themselves, because you have to have flip-flops, and I didn't want to carry them all through Europe with me.
In retrospect, yeah, we should have figured out a way to do it. I mean, same thing with towels. Like, we ended up spending $75 on three towels and two pairs of flip-flops.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was much.
Yeah. So that was not a thing I wanted to spend money on, when, honestly, we could have taken an extra 15 minutes and gone somewhere and bought them before we went.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, I didn't think they were going to be that expensive.
I didn't think the flip-flops were going to be $12 each, yeah. But we brought home the towels, so, you know. Anyway, that was a miracle of packing. That the towels fit.
So there's a bunch of different things on the interweb about how to pack, what, like, different philosophies on packing. Rachel and I fall into the category of like one carry-on suitcase and backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So, for 10 days, like, again, I had some space in my backpack, 'cause I got a slightly larger, like a 30-liter one. And your backpack was a little too small.
My backpack was too small. I would change that choice for next time. Although it was a nice size for just walking around the city. And I mean, I don't think we went to Sweden last winter. I don't know. I feel like I overpacked a little bit this time. And I will say, one of the things that we always do that makes this possible is we stay in places where there's washer dryers. Yeah. Or
speaking of planning,
washers, you know, which is what makes it feasible to take a carry-on for a 10-day or a 14-day or a 21-day trip, you know.
We talked about this a little bit last time, too. We've stopped using Airbnb, partially because we live in a townhouse community in Atlanta, and a couple of them are run as Airbnbs now. And while the owners are varyingly good at trying to get good people into their place, they can't always control that, and it doesn't make for as nice of a community. And I mean, it's terrible. We've been using it. Not that there's terrible we've been using it years. This is like the classic, like, you don't really care until it bothers you.
Right.
And now we just have better perspective. Now we're like, oh, Airbnb, even though we're good guests and we try to be quiet and respectful in the communities and follow the rules, you know, not everyone does that, because some people are just on stag party weekends or just assholes, right?
Yeah. Some people are just assholes.
And so we've been not using Airbnb.
Yeah, and I'm still comfortable using it. Like, I would still stay in people's, like, basement apartments or whatever, right? Like, when I'm traveling in the U.S., I'm still okay staying in people's spare rooms. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little bit... I'm very wary now of, like, staying in a building that has residents.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a challenge when we go to Japan because we mm-hmm. are trying to go inexpensively. Like, we'll talk about this more later, but it's going to be more of a challenge there, I think. But I also, because Japan's population is shrinking, they have, like, a housing... They have more housing than they need. So I feel a little bit less bad about it. Some places in Japan.
Probably more likely in rural communities. I think it's still... But actually, I watched a thing on YouTube about... And it wasn't my normal YouTuber people, but it was about how Japan's real estate is... For such a large first world country is actually more affordable than most places because they just have, like, a variety of special circumstances that make it part of its population.
Yeah.
Part of its zoning.
Anyway, I mean, I just, like, yeah, that's something that's going to be a challenge. But, I mean, we have talked about it before, and we'll probably continue to talk about.
There's other places you can book through. There's, like, apartment rental places. There's, mm-hmm. and you can just do a little bit of research. Like, booking.com actually got most of ours through, right? Or all of ours through.
Both of ours through this trip, yeah.
Sometimes they're effectively just Airbnbs. The second one
The second
was.
One definitely
The first
was.
One was basically an apartment community.
Yeah,
or,
like
or
a
short-term,
you know,
rental community.
Yeah, like the Sonder or whatever I talked about last time. This was Art House, or Edres was the name of the company, and they had, like, you know, five of these mm-hmm. sort of buildings in Prague.
So, but we're lamenting on travel stuff. Or, like, planning and all these things. But what else do we need to talk about Budapest?
Excuse me.
Sorry, I derailed you.
No, that's fine. We talked a little bit about the baths, which are all, you know, sort of, like, old and sort of grand and beautiful, which is, in general, what the city feels like. Mm-hmm. Prague is, like, kind of tight and windy streets and, you know, cobblestones and all of that. Budapest, for me, felt like it was much more influenced by Paris in that it's got wider streets, mm-hmm. More of a grid structure.
And definitely, like, everything is, like, apartment blocks, mm-hmm. but they're apartment blocks from, like, the 1800s
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
It is grand. It feels like a grand capital.
Yeah, for sure.
It's gorgeous.
It is incredibly gorgeous. Like, especially anything along the river, you know, from both sides. We took pictures from, you know, we went up to the castle area and cathedrals, and you get, like, really beautiful views of the river and you know, the other side of the city. And then we went to the Holocaust memorial, which is the shoes along the river, and got really beautiful views of the other side of the river. Like, yeah. It's just a gorgeous city just to look at. It's really, really beautiful.
I'm looking at our notes here. Because we're like, we've done more than half-ish of them.
Okay.
But we should take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some of my favorite things about getting around the city.
Okay. And then a little bit about food as well. We've talked before on the podcast. I mean, in fact, we did an entire episode on the train. In Colorado, right? So we've talked about our love of public transit and trains and trams and various different, I'm sure we talked about that adorable, like, Ghibli train in Japan.
Did we talk about that?
If we didn't, we should have, because that was the cutest freaking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, that one. Yeah. The one on, like, Oyama or whatever, right?
Yeah. Well, it was the cutest freaking thing that I'd ever seen in my life until, perhaps... the Metro Line 1 in Budapest.
Yeah. The, I don't know. First of all, like Rachel said, the different things in Budapest, like, it had all of them. Did we take everything?
We took a tram and a bus and a and subway.
Okay, tram, bus, subway.
We didn't take the funicular, so.
No, but I mean, we needed to get home at that point. We were all tired and cold, and I think probably all had to go to the bathroom. The, but yeah, the metro, especially the line one, like, it was easily the most adorable underground I've been on. It had some of the old-timiness of, like, the London, some of the London Underground lines, but the cars were still from the 60s, maybe, or something. They were just these, like, boxy.
Yeah, I don't know if they were actually that old or if they just looked old.
Yeah. Wow, they were still pretty old. They had leather straps and everything was kind of, like, herky jerky. The doors are like when they would close. But like everything there was this adorable tile work. There was fucking wood paneling in the stations.
Yeah.
And so unlike the tube, they're not sort of like roundy tunnels and trains. They're like just square boxes. Yeah. These little adorable yellow boxes. We also took line three or two maybe. The blue line. And it was definitely more modern.
Yeah.
That stuff felt like an 80s or something.
Yeah.
And, or newer. But this thing was great. It actually reminded me a lot of, conceptually, the, like, late 1800s suspended monorail that I wanted to take in Wuppertal, Germany. Because they've purposely kept that.
Yeah.
Older. Yeah. The cars inside are more updated there than these were, but.
But it definitely, I mean, they're obviously upkeeping the
aesthetic.
Yeah. This very cute aesthetic. And we actually went to a restaurant for dinner one night that had like modeled itself on the aesthetic of the, of that subway line, which was also very cute.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit of the city too, or we started to before I decided we needed a break. The architecture, definitely different, than Prague.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I'm sure it is a style, but it felt, it felt more like Austro-Hungarian Empire sort
of. Yeah, I mean, it feels a little bit like, it's a much more spacious city, and so, like, the buildings are on a larger scale, all of them, I think. Like, with the exception of the castle, right? Like, the castle sort of district in Prague is very, very large, but, like, but just, like, as you look at the buildings along the river, like, many of them are very sizable, right?
Yeah.
And they have their unique architectural elements, but they're also just sort of, there's a lot of substance to the buildings.
They had to have been building for density back when you could just build brick buildings only, like, 4 or 5 stories tall. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, and this metro kept some of that style for sure. Yeah, just a different sort of style. One that didn't feel, I almost said the word foreign, one that didn't seem unexpected, I suppose, but felt kind of just right. The worst, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up because I don't feel like I can do it. Like, I would love to go back to Budapest. I would love to go back to Budapest once this nonsense with illiberal democracies.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Orbán is over, hopefully.
Yeah, that is a hard thing, right?
Because I don't necessarily want to give him any money or support that, but I would love people to go there and see that when they return to a democracy.
Yeah.
But regardless of that, if you hear this, you want to wait a couple of years. Hopefully he hasn't become a full dictator and it hasn't, you know, relinquished control. And so, yeah,
that
we'll
hard,
see.
That is a hard thing, traveling somewhere where, you know, you're definitely unaligned politically and don't want to support the government.
Yeah. I at the same time, if you're one of our listeners that's outside the U.S. and Trump happens to get reelected, please do not come here. Do not give any money to the United States while we have troublesome government situations, authoritarian figures.
Right.
Taking people power away from people. So, but
Hopefully that won't hopefully be a this, concern. But
hopefully the pendulum swings back a little bit, and we can all go back to Budapest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's adorable. It was very nice. I would like to see lots more stuff there. So aside from the architecture there, mm-hmm. we did some other architectural things indoors.
Well, yeah. I mean,
the opera house we talked about.
Right. We talked about the opera house, which was very, you know, like I said, gilded. Like it had a very sort of, I don't know, Baroque. Would you call it Baroque?
Yeah.
You know, just kind of over the top. Mm-hmm. Lots of, you know, painted ceilings of like, you know, kind of mythological like scenes, you know, scenes from classical mythology, right? Like mm-hmm. huge chandeliers, gold, like, you know, it was red velvet, like all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We went to the Matthias, yes.
St. Matthias
Cathedral, which was up in the sort of castle, like the area.
Buddha castle.
Yeah.
Area.
And I wasn't initially like planning on going in there, but my mom was interested in it. So we got,
like, you were trying to steer us away from it.
I know. Like, I was just sort of like, really, hey, you've seen one there. Church, yeah. You've seen them all. But in fact, I had not just seen them all because the interior of it was delightful. Yeah. Cause everything was like painted with these different patterns. It was mm-hmm. fascinating. And I posted a bunch of them to Instagram so you can go and check those out. But, yeah, it was just like, and they weren't religious patterns necessarily. It was just like everything was decorated with different colors, different styles of patterns. The floors were mosaiced. This roof tiles create patterns on the outside in different colors. Their tile. There were painted wood ceilings, and then of course like stained glass and everything. So that was just really cool. Like, it was not that same actually kind of like gilded, like sort of heavy feeling church that you often get in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Right. It wasn't stuffy.
Yeah. And it was just a real surprise. Yeah. Like I was like, I've never seen anything like this before.
I would say a lot of the painting, cause there were a lot of like murals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there were frescoes or what, right. But painted walls with mm-hmm. people, religious scenes, one might actually expect,
right.
as well as all the patterns. But nothing, there was no exposed stone hardly at all.
Everything was entirely, you know, devoted to imagery of some sort, right.
Yeah.
Whether that's pattern or painting or stained glass.
And so the religious scenes, most of them were, I would say, again, I should know this, I have an art degree, but like more like Art Nouveau-y kind of feeling. Like
yeah.
They had the sort of soft colors mm-hmm. with slightly harder edges or defined edges. And all the patterns were, I'm not going to say pastels, but sort of like softer mm-hmm. tones.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, yeah, the colors were,
somewhere
I think
in
softer
between,
is like a fair description for them, you know.
You've seen this color. It's like, I don't know what it's from, a time period. It comes back.
And again,
in like
you can look at it on Instagram if you're interested, because I did take a ton of pictures.
Yeah,
of
and then I took some. Also posted some of the interiors, some more of the architecture and the pillars.
Yeah.
But get a plug, not just because we want the clicks, but because you might appreciate it. Because mm-hmm. Really, seeing it in person would be even better, but seeing the pictures would be second best. Is mm-hmm. Rein it in, RAINREINITIN _ podcast. So you can check those out. What I feel like, similar to Prague, though, I just enjoyed walking around the city mm-hmm. and seeing things.
Yeah, it was also a nice city to walk in. I mean, Prague is very nice, and Budapest was also very nice. I think part of it is, like, they're both reasonably flat until mm-hmm. you get to that Castle Hill
mm-hmm. and both
part. And, you know, there's good public transit. Transportation in both places mm-hmm. that will take you to the top of that hill.
They both have a very big river running through them.
Yes, that's true. They do. The Danube is very large. Well, especially when it's flooding. I mean, mm-hmm. it was full and moving quickly. And yeah, like I said, just disrupting a variety of things. Like I think I said, we went and visited the Holocaust Memorial. And we did that on the last day that we were there. And I think had we done it a couple of days prior, it would have been underwater.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, because the shoes were full of mud. Mm-hmm. well, they're not real shoes. They're bronze castings of shoes, but like, but they were definitely, a bunch of them were full of mud. So, so yeah, it was significantly high, the water.
So last thing we were going to talk about too was about the food.
Oh, right.
And they're famous for a couple things. You hear about chimney cake. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how to say it in Hungarian. And it's like tredlicki or something like that.
I can't say anything in Hungarian except for wine, which is boar. Oh, and I can say cheese, shite, which...
Not quite shite, but it's like, it's close.
Yeah.
It sounds amazingly close.
Yeah.
The... What was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah. So, but they're kind of, most famous. One you see people talk about a lot is langosh.
Yeah.
Which is L-A-N-G-O-S. Either the A or the O has an accent over it. But it's like a sh at the end from what they say. We held off on getting that until the last day because I was a little bit worried it was going to be heavy and we'd been eating a lot of heavy meals. Because it's deep fried dough. That then has
sour cream and cheese on it,
or other toppings.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the traditional one.
Traditional sour cream and cheese. Yeah,
surprisingly not heavy.
Not as heavy as we had as we had feared. Certainly not.
Still a lot.
It wasn't super greasy, I will say, is what I think we were more worried about. I didn't eat any goulash anywhere.
No, the whole trip. I had goulash in Prague, but I didn't, and I do feel like I missed a little bit of food. And I don't know what kind of happened. It was
I think. You know, we went to two restaurants that somehow made it onto the, like, trendy restaurants list. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of that was that their menus were a little bit more diverse. And I think also, like, you cannot find a vegetable in Prague. Just, you can't.
No, I realized I was talking today to someone. The little breakfast salad. We went out to breakfast a couple times in Prague, and I had, like, eggs, and you'd get this little salad that was, like, 14 pieces of rocket or arugula or spinach or something.
That's it.
That was the majority of the... I mean, so, potatoes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think by the time we got to Budapest, I was just like, I really want to eat vegetables. And so I was less likely to order something like a goulash because I was like, I need... something green. And we actually ate at home one night. We had salad. And we bought a bunch of produce at a produce market and like worked our way through that in the time.
Yeah,
that
we had breakfast
there.
At home and sometimes lunches were just kind of like a snack around or something.
Yeah. But I think that's why I miss some of the like more traditional Hungarian dishes, maybe just because I was trying to get as much vegetable into my life as possible.
Did you have a favorite meal?
Well, the langosh was really good. I enjoyed that a lot. And then, like, the first night that we were there, I had, like, a pulled lamb thing. It was on top of hummus, and it had pita with it. It didn't... I thought it was going to have a salad with it, but it didn't. It did have a salad, but the salad was, like, a grain salad.
Yeah.
So... I lost there, but
that lamb was
really good,
fantastic,
though.
Because it was like shredded.
Yeah, so that was. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed with my restaurant, which I had picked out and made a reservation at. I don't think.
And your mom didn't dig hers. I thought mine was great. I loved that one. What the hell did I have? I don't remember. I just remember really enjoying it and being a little bit. Feeling a little guilty that both of you were, like, okay with yours, and I was like...
I was just, like, I was already full by the time my entree came, because we had the... Again, I got vegetables, and I wanted a salad, and it was a 14-euro salad. So I was like, how big is it? And he was like, oh, it's not that big. It's appetizer-sized, you know? And then it came... Matt and I both ordered it, and we could have easily split it.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like... It was too much. So I was full after my salad, so I didn't really enjoy my meal as much as I could have because, like, I was already full.
Yeah, and...
I don't remember what you got either.
Why do I not remember what I got? I just remember, like, I loved the salad, too. It had roasted...
It had
pumpkin in it. It had, like, two different kinds of goat, like aged goat cheese. One of them had ash on it. I'm a big fan of ash-covered goat cheese, I realize. It's a style,
it's
right?
A specific
but we've had
fetish,
it a few times.
You know.
Yeah. The but I think my favorite meal was that first night too, when mm-hmm. you had the lamb. I had I made my favorite meme variation with whatever McMahon and the growing excitement mm-hmm. and glowing eyes. But it was like, it was truffle flavored roast sweet potato. Give or take the truffle flavored, but it was like, oh, all right, like I'm okay with that. And I was like, oh, I like roasted sweet potatoes. And then it was like wrapped in a Wellington. So it was like
a
one serve
vegetarian Wellington.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that we're going to try to remake at home. Sans truffle.
So good. Yeah. And then it also had something else on the, roasted vegetables on the sides. I had like all sorts of vegetables. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was delicious through and through.
Yeah. Especially again, Prague, just there's no vegetables to be had.
Yeah.
It is a meat and potato place.
Oh, I had that deconstructed,
stuffed cabbage.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a deconstructed stuffed cabbage. So it had like a whatever that fancy ham is, the fancy pork.
Mangalisa.
Yeah, and it was like a tureen of that, like so sort of like shredded, not moussey, but like
not
that.
Necessarily shredded, but like
mince. Yeah, just really yeah really soft, I suppose. And then had. Yeah, just like roasted cabbage, sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm. Some tomatoes in
there. Yeah, they were like oven roasted tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I mean, mine was also good. Like I had chicken and the most ridiculous potatoes that
oh my goodness,
the
potatoes
world has ever seen. They were more cheese and butter than
the
anything.
Potato.
They
yeah.
were very good.
They were delicious though. They were too thin to be able to hold on a fork.
Yeah, I know. It needed a spoon. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but I thought the food. I was very happy with the food.
Yeah, I think the food is better. I feel like we're dogging on Prague, but I love Prague.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah,
it's just that like
there's certain you're gonna drink a lot of beer and you're gonna eat a lot of heavy food.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're eating local cuisine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think we got lucky with some restaurants in Budapest as well.
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, and again, we got. You know, the Langos place that we went to, we were pointed to from the stuffed cabbage guy.
Yeah.
And the other ones we just found online by looking at places with good reviews. And then we ate Italian food one night, and we just went to the place that was right next to our apartment because we were because we were tired and wanted something like as easy as possible, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even remember eating lunches most days. I remember eating breakfast at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just get, like, weird snacks from around.
Yeah.
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 And we were only there, like, for four dinners.
Yeah. No, we were there for five nights. We would have been there for five dinners. But one of them we ate salad at home.
I'm trying to think of what the fourth one was. The two that were on the list, the Italian.
Uh-huh.
It was only like 3 days ago.
I know.
So, but our trip home was nice and flawless.
Yeah, no problems on the way home. No canceled flights. No drama at all.
I had an idea for our next podcast. What was it? It was, favorite bars we've been to.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did go to the Rune Bar area.
Yeah.
And we learned that Rune Bars are for young people.
Yep. Yeah.
It was still fun. We found a good dive bar, the one that was called Hops Beer Bar, I think.
Yeah,
it was.
that was really fun. It was just incredibly hot. If it wasn't quite so hot, we would have stayed longer. But I did like that. I did like that place.
Yeah, good vibe, good beer selection.
There were like 30 friendly kinds of Estonian beer.
Yeah.
I had an Estonian beer because there were 30 kinds of them, and I was like, I don't think I've ever had a beer from Estonia before. And if there are 30 of them, they must be pretty decent.
Yep.
So, right. I don't know. Yeah.
Recommend both.
Yeah. Definitely.
Definitely recommend going to Christmas markets. It was fun.
Uh-huh.
That was another one. Not on my radar. If your mom had not said she wanted to go, wouldn't have even considered it. But
definitely
it was
not.
A fun excuse.
Yeah.
And we're already talking about going to Finland and Latvia.
Estonia.
Or Estonia.
Yeah. In 2 years. So we'll see if we make it. There's ferry in between the two.
Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, Finland has been on my list for a while. Estonia mm-hmm. was not, but hey, it's a quick ferry right away.
Yeah.
So might as well.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Hashtag might as well.
Might as well. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. I hope you have a great day. Yeah. Any other last words?
Yeah, you can, again, check out the Instagram because we did post a lot of pictures of the cool things that we saw in both of these cities. So.
Yep. Also, Rachel mentioned this a little bit earlier. We're going to spend a month in Japan, 30 mm-hmm. days, in May and June. So mm-hmm. if you have any recommendations on places there, I mean, we've got tons of things listed. We're going to already got a general plan, which is going from Tokyo to the Kansai region with Osaka, Kyoto, and maybe Kobe, and then down around the Seto Inland Sea to do the Art Islands and mm-hmm. Hiroshima and maybe a couple other of the cities down there. We'll see. But if you have any specific places or suggestions on there, we'd love to hear it. Or yeah. if you've just been to Budapest and loved it or hated it or want to tell me how you're never going to listen to this again because you like Trump, you probably have not listened to this part of the podcast.
Right. So. Yeah. You probably stopped a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Go democracy.
Hashtag.
Thank you for listening to Rein It In, Matt and Rachel. You can check us out on Instagram at reinitin_podcast or Facebook at Rein It In Podcast. We encourage you to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, or you can listen direct at anchor.fm/reinitin. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.